Brother jukebox, sister wine, mother freedom, father time. Since she left me by myself, you're the only family I got left. I go down to that same old cafe where I try to wash my troubles away. I'm still down and I'm still
Miss Amy is back with an all-new Living Way Out Here on the Survival Circle Network. Join Amy for an uplifting hour of fun on Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday evenings at 7 p.m. Pacific, 10 p.m. Eastern, right here on Survival Circle. But you can find it right here on The Shooting Bench, coming up next.
Son, we live in a world that has walls, and those walls have to be guarded by men with guns. Who's gonna do it? You? I have a greater responsibility than you can possibly fathom. You have that luxury. You have the luxury of not knowing what I know. And my existence, while grotesque and incomprehensible to you, saves lives. You don't want the truth because deep down in places you don't talk about at parties, you want me on that wall.
You need the shooting bench.
We use words like honor, code, loyalty. We use these words as the backbone of a life spent defending something. You use them as a punchline.
And I am sick of the lies and the deceit and the intrusions on my privacy and the invasion of my home. And we do not intend to take this lying down.
I have neither the time nor the inclination to explain myself to a man who rises and sleeps under the blanket of the very freedom that I provide and then questions the manner in which I provide it. I would rather you just said thank you and went on your way.
And now, if you think you're ready, the shooting bench. Alrighty, I made it in here. It's the 3rd of November. It's a Tuesday. Welcome to the shooting bench. We've got a few different things to talk about here tonight. Mountain Shooter in the chat room there. I was wondering what... Oh, I see what happened. Yeah, I was wondering what you were confused about. You just asked about the time I normally come on. I'm the one that's confused because being in Arizona, I have to remember that the time change. At least we didn't. I thought this out very carefully this time. And every 6 months I have to do this because you guys change times and we don't. So I have to try to remember which time of year it is. Am I the same as Mountain Time now or am I the same as Pacific Time? So I figured out an easier way to do it this year, and I come to the conclusion that we are back, or you guys are back now, the same as us. Mountain Time is back the same as Arizona. So I figured it out pretty good. We had no delays, no problems this time. Did everything just right. So here we are. We've got a couple of news items to talk about. And then we've got some technical stuff we're going to spend some time on. We usually save our technical gun stuff for Thursday nights. But you know what? We have messed that up so bad so many times. We're just... Thursday night's no different than any other night now. We just do gun stuff when it's available and all this other stuff that is always available. So. Reason Amy wasn't on tonight, my youngest had tryouts for the basketball team tonight, and it appears that that's going to be going on for the rest of the week. So we're trying to figure out just exactly how we're going to do this, and because of that, unless the coach will let her get out a half hour early without jeopardizing her chances to get on the team, then it appears that Amy's going to miss the rest of the week. So we'll try to get that worked out tomorrow. Hey, old Gunner, I haven't seen you in there for quite a while. Yeah, I know we're Mountain Time. Yeah, I got it all figured out, so... Everything's good. All right. There's I saw an interesting story here that you don't see very often. CBS even had a relatively fairly pro-gun segment here talking about gun-free zones on CBS. They let Larry Pratt come on there with Gun Owners of America. And... I forgot what his son's name is. Eric, I think. I think Eric Pratt is his son that does most of his stuff now. Excuse me. So they had an anti-gun segment just a few days before this. They attacked the NRA and told them all cowards and they're blocking sensible gun legislation. Blah, blah, blah. Shut up. But this one that featured Larry Pratt, I was most impressed. And he said on the air on CBS, the problem of mass murder in this country is the gun-free zone. And he later talked about the armed citizen, the good guy with the gun, as what's his name with the NRA mentioned here a couple years ago, is the way to stop a crime. So the anchor on CBS led into it by saying that one of the Vice President Biden's assignments was to come up with recommendations for reducing gun violence. Well, we've been asking for suggestions as well in this series that they're having, Voices Against Violence. So Larry Pratt first gave his take on gun-free zones and then went on to emphasize that even while our violent crime rate has been going down, more Americans are owning guns, but not in gun-free zones. And this is one of the many, many things that puzzles me terribly, is why can't they see statistics that are available even from their own sources, from the CDC, from the Justice Department, from the FBI, and there's statistics out there that show plainly. I mean, I'm preaching to the choir. You guys know all this already, but you know, we see that gun ownership is going through the roof. There's more guns on the street than ever before in the history of mankind, and crime's just going down in every place except the gun-free zones. How hard is this to figure out? That's when you look at this and say, you know what, this has nothing to do with, I know I sound like a broken record, but this has nothing to do with safety. It has nothing to do with the children. It has nothing to do with preventing crime or anything. It has everything to do with power, with taking guns away from law-abiding people. Has absolutely nothing to do with people dying. Has only to do with taking your rights, your power to resist, away. I don't know if you guys can hear that or not, but it's raining like a cow peeing on a flat rock here. And I like a lot. It's getting worse. And I think as cold as it is, this is probably going to turn to snow by morning. I kind of suspected it might. So we got way ahead on kindling and firewood and got everything taken care of here so wouldn't have to do it in the snow tomorrow. Got a few more things we need to do. We'll see how much it snows. But with this much rain, and then unless it freezes hard, it's going to be nasty tomorrow. Just had somebody new come in the chat room. Chet, I don't know. Let me see if that's who I think it is here. Stand by just a minute, and I will check. I think I might. No, it's not who I thought it was. So, Chet, I have no earthly idea who in the world you are. But welcome to the shooting bench at any rate. Hopefully you'll find something that you like and come back from time to time. So anyway, back to this gun-free zone deal here. The transcript from the part from back in, this has been about almost 2 weeks ago, the anti-gun guy, Scott Pelley, one of Vice President Biden's assignments was to come up with recommendations for reducing gun violence. Well, we've been asking for suggestions as well in our series Voices Against Violence. Earlier this week, we heard from Andy Parker calling from gun control and his daughter and blah, blah, blah. And, it was his daughter and another journalist that was shot to death back in the summer. And then Larry Pratt introduced himself, and he said, really, ever since Columbine, that the problem of mass murder in this country is the gun-free zone. We have a federal law that schools must be gun-free zones unless a state goes through an enormous amount of trouble. All but two of the mass murders in our country have occurred in gun-free zones. Even while our violent crime rate has been going down, more Americans owning guns. Yeah, we know about that. And he just went on to talk about they supported a measure that's been in Congress for several terms now that would treat your concealed carry permit the same way as your driver's license. If you have it in one jurisdiction, it should be good anywhere in the country. Now, having that reciprocity is, wow, it's pouring down rain. Jeez. I'm assuming you guys can hear that. Yeah. Oh, I see. Yeah, Pumpkin Cat says they can hear it there. All right. Tampico said that Chet's from Arizona. Well, I'm glad to, see you in here. What the hell was I saying now? The rain's got me afraid to cave my roof in the way it's pouring out there. But, I was talking about national reciprocity. Now, it's okay if you're, there doesn't need to be any legislation. All there needs to be legislation about, they just need to recognize the concealed carry permit. Now, I know all about, you know, constitutional carry, and that's the way it should be, and yeah, okay, I get it. I know all that. But that doesn't change anything. It's not going to happen anytime soon. Just like everything else that we've done, we do it. Okay, Chet, I know who you are now. Thank you. We do it one step, and unless somebody is willing to go out there and with a full-fledged armed revolution and change everything overnight, it's not going to happen. So we're grateful for what we get as we get it. And I am opposed to national reciprocity if we have to have a bill and legislation to do that, because if they give it to us, they can take it away. However, if they would simply recognize the 10th Amendment, and through which your driver's license and everything is... I don't even know if you can hear me now. Through which your driver's license is recognized in every state. Jeez, old Pete. Then your concealed carry permit should be too. Okay, now that's okay. I don't want... is for them to issue a permit that is good in all 50 states. I am vehemently opposed to that. I guess I shouldn't have said I'm for against national reciprocity. What I meant was a national concealed carry permit. That I am very much opposed to. Rights at risk, I'll tell her. Thank you. So we'll see how all this comes about here. All they have to do is come out and say, you know what, if we're going to recognize driver's licenses, then we have to recognize concealed carry permits too, if the state issues it. Now, I would say that, well, that's a moot point now, because every state has some form of concealed carry now. The only problem that I see with this would be in states that have, there'd have to be some stipulations in there that say, okay, if your state says that you can't carry a concealed carry, can't carry a concealed weapon until you're 21, then states like Indiana would be no good in Arizona until those people turn 21. So there's a lot of kinks to work out, and a lot of things all states would have to be fairly, kind of open and flexible here if they want to do this. But of course, we know they do not want to do this. So that's gonna cause a problem. See, we got a little 9mm guy. Boy, you talk about a Ford Chevy argument that never dies. That 9mm, 9mm versus whatever. 38, 357, 40, 45, 500 Smith & Wesson, 105 Howitzer, whatever. It is an argument that keeps on giving, never gives up. Kilograms even in there with us. Wow, been a long time since I've seen you. Glad you could make it in for a little while tonight. All right, enough with CBS News already. I don't like CBS News anyway. So let's see here. Let me get my stuff in order here. I got to do a little research on this one. I don't think I'm going to talk about that one here just yet. We'll discuss that one maybe tomorrow or the next day. By the way, speaking of tomorrow or the next day, I'm going to Wednesdays now is going to be no different than any other day, since the with the time change, with you guys' time change. Now, I have to be on an hour later so that you guys can have the show on at the same time that you always do. So, here in Arizona, now the show doesn't start till 9. And it did start at 8 just last Friday. So with that being said, Wednesday nights will now be the same as every other night, and everything starts at the regular time, which is 8 o'clock Pacific and 11 o'clock Eastern. So there you go. All right. Let me see if there's another one of these I want to do before we start on this other deal. I'm probably start on it at the bottom of the hour. Hang on a minute. Man, this rain has got me Confucius here. Pouring down so hard, having a hard time thinking. Man. All right. Let me check my list of things. Oh, yeah. Here, unbelievable. You know, I said something a while ago about a full-fledged armed revolution. You know what? If there was ever a time when that was appropriate, I'm not so sure that time is not fast approaching here. Obviously, it's not here yet, or we would have already done it, right? Right. Yeah. So everybody just sit around and gripe, and we'll get to it just as soon as we can there. But apparently, and this is, at first I thought this was satire because I looked and I've seen it from so many sources. And I get it from, excuse me, from Breitbart and several other ones here. And it appears now, this is a rather complicated issue, only because the feds made it that way. The feds apparently have pushed an existing law, and they've ruled now that if you think you're a girl or you relate to girls or whatever, anyway, they're ruling they're going to force schools to allow high schools. I mean, it's bad enough for third graders to do it when they're still not sure what everything is about, but now it's not that I advocate that. I'm just saying, high school, they're forcing high school girls to undress in the same room with naked boys that think they're girls, with full-on total retards that think they're girls. You know what? I got it. If you want to get undressed in front of these girls, now you can't blame him for trying. I mean, that's in this picture that I'm looking at here, it seems that's, well, yeah. But if you have trouble identifying and are not sure which locker room you need to be in, go ahead and undress. Why don't you do this at home? You know, or go in the bathroom, shut the door, undress, and look down and see if you have an innie or an outie. You know, see how you're plumbed. If the plumbing is appropriate with the boy, then that's what you are. I'm going to tell you again, just like I've said before, God does not make mistakes. If you've got a dangler, you're a boy. If you've got a handful of stuff down there that's poking out, you don't belong in that dressing room with all those girls. You can't honestly believe, now I'm sure that some of these people have at least some, and I'm sure that all of them don't, but I would think that at least some of them believe that, or believe in God. I mean, the God, as far as I'm concerned. And if that's a fact, then to say that, just like, what's her name? Bruce Jenner, and who was that other one that, there's been several of them that decided that they're girls now. You know, that is to say that God has made a mistake. And my God doesn't make mistakes. Yours might. Mine don't. If he turns you out as a boy, then you will forevermore be a boy. And I don't care how much stuff you change or what you call yourself or how much makeup you put on, you're always going to be a boy. You may be a real stupid boy, but you're a boy. It's just the way it is. Hey, Thunder Boy dropped in. Glad to see you in here, too. So, anyway, I forgot, Mountain Shooter. They're waiting on the operation. Hey, Chet, let me put something in here for Chet so he can find the show. Tell him to download this. There you go. All right. Yeah, and Minnie, you're right. When you said that last three words, the last one word, said you can't change those chromosomes, at least not yet. Well, you know, that's a little bit scary. You guys help Chet out here and show him how to find it. XIIA Live or whatever it is. Looks like he maybe have a little technical challenge like so many of us do out there. All right, we're close enough to the bottom of the hour that I'm going to get something going here and give Chet a chance to get his audio going there before we start talking about bullets and stuff. There was, there we go. All right, we got a little song I'm going to play here for you. We'll take about a 5-minute break or so, and then we'll be back.
eyebrows. Looks aren't that important, just icing on the cake. What really turns me on is the shake. Shake it to the left, shake it to the right. Come on, baby, you know what I like. Shake it real funky, shake it real low.
Alright, let's get on with some, little bit of technical stuff here. The, looks like Chet made it in. Glad to see you. Yeah, that's a great app for a smartphone. It's XIIA Live, not .com or anything. You just go to your Play Store and download XIIA Live. All one word. And, it works really, really well. And I think it's probably better than any of the Shoutcast or anything. It works exceedingly well for me, anyway. I suppose that it may be different for different phones and services and stuff, but I've had excellent luck with it. So it means that instead of having to download a podcast or something like that, I can listen live on my phone anywhere that I can get service. So, it's a great tool there. Hold on a minute. All right, and quit holding on. All right, Tamp said a deal to me here the other day about loading bullets backwards in, well, this particular story was in rifle cases. We're going to talk about handgun cases and stuff like that, too. And, I'll tell you right off the bat, before we even get into this, it's not a good idea. Okay? If you're going to bed right now, you're not going to listen to the rest of it, don't go out and load a bunch of bullets backwards in your rifle shells. It is a very poor idea. The idea of it goes back to World War I. it's been going on for a long, long time. They actually found out that that it had some effect on light armor on tanks and stuff. And how that worked exactly, I'm not entirely sure, but it the deformation of the bullet was different hitting backwards than it did hitting point first. And sometimes they found that there was actually some damage done inside from the fragments off of the inside, the spalling of the inside of the armor, and did damage to occupants there, even if the bullet didn't penetrate. But the problem with that is, and what they did, they added more powder to the load and turned the bullet around backwards. Okay, the whole thing was a bad idea. If, matter of fact, it was they wound up tearing up some rifles and injuring some people, and it turned out to be a less than desirable thing to do. But it's well, Doc, not really. I mean, in a way it is, but not too much like loading hollow base wad cutters. We'll talk about that in a minute. Eddie Crump, man, you need to find another job, and you can tell your boss to take this job and shove it. Eddie Crump, for those of you not in the chat room, Eddie Crump just said that he was told by his boss that if he wore a Confederate flag to work again, that he'd fire me. Yeah, I'm not even going to get off on that topic again, but I cannot believe that that flag has flown proudly for all of these years, and all of a sudden you get a handful of retards out there that think that it's something awful, and now they're scrubbing it off of cars and getting rid of all the stuff and burning down buildings and doing everything over this stupid flag. It's unbelievable to me. Unbelievable. So, anyway, let's get back to what we were talking about. The thing about loading bullets backwards in a rifle shell is that you have the... In the story, it talked about reduced capacity of the shell. That's not really an issue unless you've got a really full, or a compressed charge or something. That's not reducing the capacity by much, if any, depending on how deep you set the bullet. It could a little. But now, if you're going to do this, instead of doing what the Germans did and putting more powder in the case, I would put considerably less. I would probably start out at like half the charge, or a little better, depending on what kind of powder it was. I don't see any real good reason to do this. Now, as Doc indicated, in the 38 specials, there was a time when there was a type of bullets that you could load backwards in a 38 special case, and that worked real well, but that is a totally 100%, 1,000% different deal. The long slide, there's quite a bit of pressure change. I'll tell you about that in just a minute. Loading the hollow base wad cutter backwards didn't change anything, because a wad cutter, a true wad cutter, is even a semi wad cutter wouldn't hurt any, but a true wad cutter is a little cylinder. It's the same, pretty much the same dimensions and diameter and profile one way as the other. If you take a hollow base wad cutter, those hollow base wad cutters, what happened was the pressure would get behind as you push those out, and it would kind of flare the back end a little bit and seal the, at least the idea was to keep as much gas from leaking around the bullet. It would seal the back end of the bullet into the lands, into the grooves there. But when you turn it upside down, the only thing it meant was you didn't get no flare in the back, and you get a huge, monstrous hollow point in the front. And at reasonable self-defense distances, it was a pretty devastating round, even in the lowly, 790 foot per second standard 38 special rounds. And but that's so. That being said, there was no pressure change in that. You could take almost any handgun bullet and turn it around, and have very little, if any, pressure change. With the rifle, not so much. If you take a typical pointed rifle bullet and turn it over and point down and point it into, put the point in the case, here's what happens. Look at your, kind of draw a picture. This is going to be hard to explain without drawing the picture for you. But look at the wedge that you're creating all the way around the shell by the bullet being backwards. You have a long, long point sticking down in there, and all that pressure is slamming into this wedge, into this tight little corner that doesn't exist if the bullet was turned around. There's a little bit of a corner there, but it's not as much. So when that fires, all that gas is slamming into that wedge, into that corner there, and almost 100% of the time splitting case necks, which is why if I was going to do that, I would back it off. Why would you do it to start with? Well, aside from the armor issue that we talked about a while ago, another thing would be because if it's all you had, and you really needed something that was exceedingly effective on personnel, then I would dump about half the powder out and turn that bullet around, and you would have something that would be a very, very bad thing for people to catch. But when would you really need to do that? A full metal jacket, a rifle round, not the best man stopper in the world, you know, but they'll certainly do the job depending on where you hit and the velocity and, you know, all the normal things that affects terminal ballistics. But if you took a rifle like a 30-30 bullet, a 35, well, not so much a 35 Whalen, but the... Robert Yakima. There's another one from Washington. You Washington folks are about to take us over in the chat room there. That's a good thing, though. I don't mind at all. Welcome, Robert. excuse me. Hang on a minute. Dadgummit. All right, I'm back. So if you took a, let's say, a 32 Special, a 30 Carbine, 30-30, something like that that has a relatively flat or round nose that doesn't stick as far down in there, you haven't created quite as much of a corner in there. Can you guys visualize the corner that I'm talking about and how sharp that is? That's why it didn't work out. That's why there were so many injuries and stuff back anytime anybody's ever tried this. Well, no, it's not true. Not every time. It doesn't always blow guns up, but it was pretty regular when they added more powder to it. So it's really be very, very rare that it would be useful to you. When you look at the, again, as I always say, risk versus reward, there's not much time really that would ever be that rewarding for you to take that risk of damaging the gun, ruining your brass, and possibly injuring yourself in the process. So, now your handguns, most of your handgun rounds, are not shaped horribly different on one end as they are on the other. They're most of them round or flat nose. If you took a semi-wad cutter, we talked about the wad cutter a while ago, if you take a semi-wad cutter, a Keith-style bullet, and turned it around, you would have virtually, you know, very little difference between that and the flat base of the bullet. Pressure might go up a tiny bit. Now, understand that the pressure of the cartridge, how should I say this? The pressure of the cartridge itself is not going to change much. It's the pressure in that particular spot. It doesn't mean the overall pressure on the flat part of the body of the shell really changes much, but that amount of pressure forced into that little corner changes things at that point. It doesn't stretch and split the brass all over the place. It only splits at the neck where it's in contact with the bullet. So I don't know if that makes any sense to you or not, but that's the deal. That's how it works. Now, with that being said, like I said, that's a dangerous thing to do, and this is something that I don't want you to try at home, you know, and all that stuff. Just suffice it to say that it will work in an emergency if you could come up with some reason why you really needed to do that. The other thing that you can do, which works much better, in my opinion, now I don't know about the armor deal. I have never had the opportunity to shoot light armor with a .30-06 or an 8mm or whatever. But what you can do as far as personnel goes, simply leave the bullet in place and take a good file and knock off about an eighth of an inch off the point, and you have, son, I'm here to tell you, a wildly devastating hollow point bullet. It is not for hunting, not if you want to save pelts or salvage any meat for around the area where you shot. When that bullet hits, now you got to understand, military rounds, military full metal jackets are open base. They're not solid base like your commercial bullets are. They're open. There is exposed lead in there. So it's very, very important that you only go down far enough on that point just so that you can see the color change. You don't want to try to make a wide open point out of this, and here's why. When you fire that gun, when you fire that round, the lead is likely to squirt out of that open point of the bullet and leave the jacket stuck in the bore. And when you fire a round behind that, the technical term for that is bad. Very bad. Do you understand what I'm talking about? It's kind of like a banana. You squish that that jacket, and the lead comes out, and it goes on out the barrel with 0 degree of accuracy. But the jacket could be lodged somewhere in the barrel. Now, I've shot quite a few of those, and I've done it safely, and I never had any problem. But I was always very careful not to make a big open point on those bullets. You want a very, very tiny pinhole. And because that is open and there's no bonding, you know, in military bullets, they basically just, you know, poured hot lead in a little shell and stuck in a bullet, you know, is what it amounts to. So there's no bonding of the lead to the jacket. So it's very easy for that lead to pop out of there. I know I'm starting to sound like a broken record, but I'll make sure that you understand what not to do here. I've shot many, many, many of those things back when I was had a good buy on. Back in the old days, it was your military full metal jackets were cheaper than dirt. I mean, you could buy, you know, for $10, you could buy a damn pickup load of them, just about. So, for a lot of my goofing around and plinking and small game hunts, you know, things that I was not going to save the meat or the hides or anything like that, I shot lots of those bullets, being very careful not to make the point too big, the opening and the bit too big in the point. So if I were looking for an anti-personnel bullet, that would be the way to do it. Because it is a devastating hollow point. You don't get nearly the penetration that you would get off of a factory hollow point because of the lack of bonding of the two components of the bullet there. But when it hits, it all comes from together. very, very rapidly. So, okay, there's my 2 cents worth on backwards loading bullets and the alternatives to it. We've got a Counter-Strike class coming up here in when? A week from tonight. I mean, a week from today. Next Tuesday on the 10th over in Springerville, Arizona. And it looks like that beginning here most Ricky Tick that I am going to be joining forces at least to some degree with an outfit here that does quite a bit of let's see if I can find my cut and pick and deal here. I'm trying to get the name of, I know the guy that that operates it. It's called what the heck? Let me find it here in just a second. I know I just had it here. It's called DefTech. DefTech Academy. And I'll give you more details on this as they as things get sealed here. But this guy is very good with carbine and rifle, you know, tactical rifle stuff, and they're lacking handgun instructors. So I'm working out a deal with them where I can go and do some teaching for them from time to time. And I don't know yet, you know, how often or any of that. We just talked about this tonight, actually, about 2 hours before the show come on. So we'll have more details on that here over the next week or so, and I'll let you know. But I think it's going to turn out to be a very nice partnership with some good people. And we may even put together some combination classes or something. So. Okay, well, we're just about at the end. What else have I got going on? I don't have anything else going on right now, I don't think. Long-range handgun coming up over in Young, Arizona. I think that one is going to be... They've still got 2 more days to get enough people for that class, but I don't think they're going to make it. So for those of you that have tuned in for the first time or whatever here, the long-range handgun class is a class that we do where you shoot out to 200 yards with service-style handguns. No scopes, no long barrels, no specialty pistols, no single shots. This is with service-style pistols and revolvers. You have 6-inch long barrels max, and calibers typically are anything from 380. Yes, a 380 will go 200 yards, but there's not a whole lot of 380s out there that the gun itself is capable of that type of accuracy. There's a few. The 40, of course, always does real well. 9mm does well. 45 can do well. It requires a little more thinking about it. 357, of course, does well. We 44s. Yeah, if you wanted to shoot a, you know, 4 or 5 inch 44 and that, I guess you could. But nobody ever has up to this point. 40s have pretty much ruled the roost. 40s and 9s have pretty much taken that class over every time we've done it. So, anyway, one of these days, if we get back up to Washington, there's a few people up there that are wanting to take that class. So we'll see if we can work that out here the next time we make it up there. All right. Well, I've got things to do, places to go, and people to see. So I'm going to get on out of here, and we'll see you tomorrow night at our normal time, which will be 8 Pacific, 11 Eastern, and 9 Mountain and 10 Central, if we want to hit all of them there. All right, well, I'm babbling. See you all tomorrow.
Thanks for joining us for another edition of The Shooting Bench. Please join COPE Monday through Friday for the most politically incorrect firearms information show on talk radio.
Lead, follow, or get the hell out of the way. Ladies and gentlemen, it is time for you to decide who you are. Somebody should call them. Somebody should write a letter. Somebody should try and stop that. Somebody should do something. I challenge you to look in the mirror and tell me what you see. If there's somebody there, that would be you. It's time for you to do something. There is no doubt that the Constitution is hanging by a thread. It's not going to wait for us much longer.